This podcast is brought to you by Erickson Immigration Group. Welcome to Immigration Nerds. This week in immigration was jam-packed. In a 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of DACA, and yet days later, the White House, in an executive order, passed a travel restriction that will affect thousands of visa holders who are currently outside of the United States. Joining the podcast to make sense of these two seemingly conflicting stories and where they might meet is Managing Director of Erickson Immigration Group, Justin Parsons. Here is your quick update in immigration for the week. I'm Ian Gaines. Come join us beyond borders. The Supreme Court has denied the Department of Homeland Security's attempt to rescind the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. So this allows for Dreamers to remain in the country without threat of deportation. This is big news.
Yeah, it's big news.
So what's your reaction upon hearing this and what you think this means for the country?
Yeah, so I think it's pretty great news. I think a lot of folks were celebrating, you know, a lot of our clients were bracing for DACA to be overturned. As you indicated, it's a 5-4 decision. I think essentially what the court ruled was that how DHS went about trying to rescind DACA violated the APA. But what they kind of indicated in the decision was that essentially go back and try again. If you're really interested in trying to rescind DACA, you have to go back and do it in a different format to where it's not arbitrary and capricious, which is the standard set by the APA.
Right.
It's a short-term victory. If DHS really wants to go back and try to eliminate DACA, they have to do so, and they have to do so quickly. Because obviously, as we record this today, it's June the 24th. In the event that Trump wins re-election, I think the administration is going to try to go back and take away DACA. If they lose the election, I think DACA stands. I think we're possibly looking at some sort of, you know, more comprehensive immigration reform. And I think the new administration would then ultimately protect DACA in the long term.
Right. And this impacts so many people.
Yeah.
Over the years, nearly 800,000 people took part in this program. And even more telling, nearly 30,000 individuals from this program work in healthcare right now fighting the novel coronavirus. So
yeah.
These people are needed.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of folks out there from certain organizations, nativist anti-immigration organizations, especially in DC here, that say, oh, you know, DACA, folks that are in DACA are dangerous, whatnot. It couldn't be, you know, farther from the truth. I think if you look at the statistics of DACA, well, of course, not only do you have to prove that you don't have a criminal record and I'd say a criminal risk, a threat, but statistics that they put out of the folks who apply for DACA, you know, have jobs, have college degrees, whether it's bachelor's or master's. So I think what's been proven is that the folks who've applied and have been granted DACA are contributing a lot to society.
So I also think it's interesting the role Chief Justice John Roberts is playing and has been playing lately when we think about the LGBTQ rights in the workplace, that decision, and now DACA. This certainly has gone against what many people have expected.
Yeah, I mean, I think that given the administration that appointed Justice Roberts, everyone thought that he was going to kind of always side with the conservatives of the court. And I think what we're seeing is that he's kind of acting as the role that Justice Kennedy previously played as more or less kind of the swing vote, kind of went back and forth between, you know, the conservatives and the more liberal factions of the court. So we're definitely seeing Justice Roberts. Of course, there's lots of folks out there who are saying he's concerned about his legacy, and folks are going to look back and think of his court. So I think, yeah, I think he's played, you know, a pretty critical role in the last couple of decisions, you know, in terms of siding with the more liberal side of the court at this point.
Got it. And just to make sure this is not a permanent fix, we still must find a clear pathway to citizenship. So this is still somewhat temporary.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if DHS really wanted to act on this, they could issue as I said before, they could go back and try to quickly rescind DACA with more of an explanation as to why they're doing it. And if they wanted to do it, and I wouldn't put it past them, this kind of going through the list of everything that this administration has done in terms of all the bans, I think it's pretty fair to say that they're anti-immigrant. And I don't think that is controversial to say at this point. You look at kind of the full list of everything that they've tried to do from the very beginning, whether it's the, you know, the Muslim ban to whether it's the travel ban, 1, 2, 3. And now we're at the point of the executive order that they issued on Monday. I think it's pretty clear to say that this is kind of the most anti-immigrant administration that we've seen, you know, in the past 100 years in the United States. So is it possible that they go back and they try to attack DACA, you know, from now until the election? Sure. I think this is a temporary victory, but I think by no means should we get complacent and think that DACA is here to stay.
Given the track record.
Yeah.
You mentioned the executive order. On June 22nd, President Trump signed a proclamation that suspends the entry of aliens who present a risk to U.S. labor market following the coronavirus. This is an action that the White House perceives will protect American jobs. So let's get into the details a little bit about this proclamation. So specifically, who does this proclamation impact?
Yeah, so on its face, what this does is it prevents individuals from applying for the first time for new H-1B stamps who are outside of the country, L visa stamps, J's, H-4s. So anyone who's outside of the country who does not have one of those visa stamps to apply for admission in those visa statuses. So who this doesn't impact, and this is kind of an important piece, is it does not impact anyone who's here on an H-1, an H-4, a J-1, an L-1. It does not impact their ability to extend their visa, nor does it impact a company's ability to transfer, say, an H-1B from one country to another.
Got it. Do you know how long this proclamation will last?
So it went into effect today. So we were recording this on 6/24. So it went impact at 12 in the morning today, right. And it'll be extended through December 31st of 2020.
Got it. Any exemptions?
So there are exemptions for healthcare workers who may help with COVID-19. There are exemptions for folks who are participating in the food chain supply. And then there are exemptions for anyone who would essentially help the recovery of the U.S. economy.
So what if...
And that's a major catch-all, I would say.
Right. So what if I am a visa holder and I'm currently in the United States? Does that impact me?
So if you're currently in the United States, say on an H-1B, and you don't have a visa stamp in your passport, it doesn't impact your ability to work here. What we're advising folks is you don't want to travel until the proclamation is over, because if you travel, you're not going to be able to get a visa stamp to come back in. But for those individuals, there's going to be, I would say, a minimal impact at this point.
Right. Let's say, on the other hand, I'm a visa holder who does not have a valid visa stamp. Will I be able to travel now to the end of the year, or how does that work?
Yeah, well, if you're here, you have a valid visa stamp in your passport, you're going to continue to be able to travel, re-enter the country. If you're outside of the U.S., you don't have a valid visa stamp, you're not going to be able to apply for a visa stamp. You can try to apply and try to argue an exemption, and the proclamation states that it's up to the consular officer who's interviewing you whether they're going to grant the exemption, whether they're going to issue the visa stamp. But we just don't know. Nobody knows at this point how those exemptions are going to be applied.
Right. So what else can we expect from this proclamation? How do you wrap this all into one bundle to help make sense for us?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that the reason, the kind of the underlying explanation of why this proclamation was put into place was to help U.S. workers. But if you look at kind of where the unemployment rates are, you know, it's mostly in the sectors in terms of, you know, food and beverage.
Yeah, restaurants. Mm-hmm.
Restaurants, entertainment. But those are traditionally, you know, sectors that don't have, you know, specialty occupation workers. They don't have highly skilled workers. You know, I looked at the unemployment rates in the technology sector, and they have gone up. But, you know, one of the things that the proclamation says is this is going to free up 500,000 jobs for U.S. workers. That's not how the economy works. So I really doubt that it's going to accomplish what they say that it's going to accomplish. I think the other thing that we have to think about is visa holders also contribute a lot in terms of they come here, they pay taxes, they purchase things, they contribute to the economy. So I do think that what we're doing is we're really, we're contracting, especially a lot of like highly skilled folks who are compensated a lot. They're not going to be here to spend money. They're not going to be here to purchase houses, pay rent. So I personally see this as you know, something that's really going to hurt the economy. And I think you're having more and more people and experts come out and say this is a really bad decision from a public policy standpoint. I'd also say that there are also more and more rumors and folks coming out saying that there may be some reciprocity issues in terms of other countries may say, well, if you're going to prevent our foreign nationals and H-1B holders from coming to the U.S., we may do it to you as well. So there may be restrictive measures put in place by maybe the European Union, maybe countries in APAC that limit the ability for U.S. citizens to come. So I think that's a very definitive possibility. What we heard yesterday is that Europe may put in place measures to prevent U.S. citizens from coming, you know, over due to COVID-19 and our inability to get this under control. So I really think that the administration is playing with fire in terms of its restrictionist policies here. They think it's protecting the U.S. economy, but I think it's in the long term, it's going to have the exact opposite effect.
Thank you to lead researcher Con Branch, assistant producers Luke Bianco and David White, and music by Brandon Williams. Follow Immigration Nerds on Twitter at @immnerds and Erickson Immigration Group on LinkedIn to join in the conversation. I'm Ian Gaines. See you next week.